Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Welcome once again to this Sunday morning broadcast of the Word of Grace. I'm delighted that you found CJMQ on your dial and that you join us for a time of reflection from within the Christian tradition. Our places of worship in the province of Quebec continue to be closed, but we rejoice in the prospect of them reopening about the middle of the month. So it's welcome here to this time if you're seeking a way to set apart Sunday to keep Sunday special. My name is Nigel Parker, the minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. We normally gather at 10:30 of a Sunday morning at our building at 256 Rue Queen Street in Sherbrooke. In this time of lockdown, we're live streaming an act of worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings on our YouTube channel and also our Facebook page. You can connect to these through our church website. Have you ever been in a place where you felt that you didn't fit in? I once had some study leave from the Church of Scotland, and some Scottish colleagues and I were studying at a college in New Jersey. We were white European ministers, male and female, and as part of our experience, we were taken to a black-led church in Newark, New Jersey. The dozen of us were guests of the church, which consisted of several hundred African-American worshippers. We looked thoroughly out of place. Yet this being the church at its best, while we might have felt as if we were strangers and outsiders, we were made most welcome. Have you ever been in a place where you felt that you didn't fit in? That's a theme for this morning.
Oh,
words from the Psalms. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel person. For you are my hope, O Lord my God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall continually be of you. Let us pray. Our holy God, we come to you this day in trust and in hope. We come in worship with trust in you uppermost in our hearts and minds, because you have always been our reliable refuge, especially when life's storms batter and surround us. We also come in hope to worship you, because you have never disappointed us or let us down. Steadfast God, be to us and for us what you have always been, and in faith we acknowledge that you already are our rescuing and saving God. Life-renewing God, we recall with gratitude the way that you have always guided and blessed us from infancy to our present age. Loving God, we give you thanks that you have generously freed us from all that restricts our thinking, hearing, and listening to your counsel and direction. To you be praise. We confess, Lord, that though you have known us since our mother's womb, and some of us have known you since our youth, we want to keep you distance. You place us into the world to build and to plant, yet we join the destruction of relationships and life. We doubt your power presented to us, thinking ourselves more worthy than others and unwilling to call you Lord. Forgive our sins of pride. Save us from our ignorance. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ comes to us. He is the Son of God. He heals and forgives our sins. We are invited to believe. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we may know the salvation given in the words, "For the sake of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven." Thank you for this grace, this word of grace in which we stand. Amen. Last week, we thought about Jesus' statement of mission presented in Luke chapter 4. He read this book of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue of Nazareth. And we continue the story from Luke chapter 4 at verse 20. And then Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And so all bore witness to him and marvelled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your own country." And then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." And so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of their city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. And then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Amen.
rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete.
This passage is an expression of the essence of what Luke the Gospel writer would want us to know about the Jesus he knew. Luke wants us to know that Jesus is the Lord, and that the least, the last, and the lost have a special place in his heart. The Jesus Luke knew showed a love for those outside the religious establishment. He wanted people to know that those outside of the religious circle were just as important to him as those who were faithful to the covenant. The Jesus Luke knew wanted the religious people to know that it wasn't all about them. It's also about them, the Gentiles, those who aren't part of the body of Christ, as much as it is those who think, "I'm in." The Jesus Luke knew had great compassion for those outside the status quo. As Luke reveals, The Jesus he knew placed a high value on intentionally seeking out those who didn't know God or who are being kept from knowing God in order to make the redeeming love of God available to them. It therefore makes it amazing that some people would try and cut out those parts of the Bible that describe the love of God in those terms. 3 years ago in Washington, D.C., at the Museum of the Bible, there was an exhibition of what is called the Slave Bible. Originally published in London in 1807, it was edited and printed for missionaries on behalf of the Society for the Conversion of Negro Slaves. Missionaries going to the British colonies used the Slave Bible to teach enslaved Africans how to read and to introduce them to the Christian faith. But unlike other missionary Bibles, the Slave Bible only had the parts of the Bible in it. It left out the Exodus story that it might inspire and help slaves dream of a future and hear of God's love for them. And it contained just about every reference to hierarchy, order, and servanthood you could imagine. And that's what's happening in this story in Luke chapter 4. The synagogue congregation were trying to cut out bits of the Bible. Jesus says, this is good news, but it isn't just good news for us. The good news I'm bringing isn't going to stop here in the synagogue in Nazareth. God is bigger than that. Remember Elijah and Elisha, those good old prophets in the old days? Let's not forget our holy scriptures and the stories they tell. Remember how Elijah went to that poor widow in Zarephath? How he went right past the boundaries of Israel into enemy territory and found that starving woman? Taking what she offered, Elijah made sure that they were both fed. Or what about Elisha? Remember how Naaman, a leader in the Syrian army, those enemies of Israel, remember how he suffered from leprosy, but Elisha healed him. Friends, there were hungry and hurting people in Israel in those days, but Elijah and Elisha didn't help them, they helped the others. Well, the congregation didn't like it. They would want to try and cut out those bits of the Bible to keep the love of God for themselves, to make them feel special. And yet Luke's gospel goes on with story after story about the generous love of God. It's Luke who tells us about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost or prodigal son. The Jesus Luke knew had a heart for those who are not part of the synagogue or the life of the church. Jesus wanted them to know that God loves them and wants them to be people of the covenant as well. The Jesus Luke knew had a heart and a passion for those outside the religious establishment. And this is good news for anyone here who's felt left out of the church. I talked to you about my being in an African-American congregation yet being made at home. But I'm sure that there are people listening here who have had other experiences of church, of being made to feel every bit as unwelcome as they could be, put at a distance from the love of God by people who wanted to keep it for themselves. This story is for you. God is looking for you, not to punish you, but to bless you. Let yourself be found. If you're among the unimportant, the needy, the broken, the one picked last, God in Jesus Christ says you're not last, you're first. In God's kingdom, you're not the cursed, you're the blessed. And if you are a follower of Jesus, your preference, what comes first, is the same as it is for Jesus, for the least, the last, and the lost. And for those of us who are disciples of Jesus, the question is our perspective towards those outside the church more like Jesus or more like the religious people who attended the synagogue in Nazareth? Or is it somewhere in between? And what do you think Jesus would want you to do about that? We can't keep Jesus to ourselves.
Oh,
Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks and praise because you are a safe haven and a tower of strength, and your love will never end. Fulfilling the words of the prophets, your Son Jesus came, and in him we have seen you face to face. Now we know what love looks like. When his passion would not be tamed, his own people were filled with rage and anger and handed him over to be killed, but you raised him to life. And now and forever, his love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And in his love, the wholeness of all things is coming. God of every land and nation, you've created all people, and you dwell among us in Jesus Christ. Listen to the cries of those who pray to you, and grant that as we proclaim the greatness of your love and your name, everyone would know the power of love at work in the world. Grant our mortal tongues the words of justice, mercy, tolerance, and compassion, to calm fear, dissolve rage, and to fill the hearts and souls of all who hold power in countries and communities across the planet. We remember the tensions on the Ukraine-Russian border and how so many countries might be drawn into chaos and conflict if it all unraveled. Sustain the faith of all who suffer with chronic pain, depression, or disease, and refresh the energy of those who assist with their care. Here in Quebec, we rejoice at the prospect of being able to worship together in person again. Make us wise as we do so, and help us take into our worship in person the lessons we have learned in following you in our time of journeying apart. We ask you to soothe the hearts of those who grieve, as the heavens erupt with rejoicing, for the loved ones whom you are gathering to yourself in these days. We remember the life of the church and pray that you would nourish the gifts of anointed pastors and preachers, ministers and priests who join in a community of worship. Enrich our faith. Inspire us to step beyond ourselves in this life's short journey to seek fulfillment in Christ. And hear us now as further we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Sweet the sound that saved a poor sinner like me. I once was lost, yet now am found. Though I was blinded, now I see. And it's all because of God. Amazing grace, because on Calvary's mountain he took my place, and someday, some glorious morning, I shall see him face to face, all because of God's amazing grace. Through disappointment and danger too, through labors and sorrows we've come. But God's grace has guided, saved me through, and it will.
will surely lead us home.
And it's all because of God's amazing grace. Because on Calvary's mountain he took my place. And someday, some glorious morning, I shall see him face to face. All because of God's amazing grace. Then with the ransom round God's throne, we'll praise our Redeemer and King. This song we'll sing. And it's all because of God's amazing grace. Because on Calvary's mountain he took my place. And someday, some glorious morning, I shall see him face to face. All because of God's amazing grace. All because of God's amazing grace. Amazing grace.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace Broadcast Ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.